When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
It's a feel-good football Friday on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I'm eating one of Maggie Gray's biscotti right now. I wasn't prepared for us to come back that quickly. You know, she wrapped them up in this plastic. If you missed it earlier, she only gave me biscotti because people were shaming her, saying that she only kisses Boomer's ass.
Or she gave me biscotti to say, hey, I don't kiss Boomer's ass. I kiss a lot of people's ass, apparently. So she used me to change her narrative around here. But
I've never felt that way for Maggie. I've never had that kind of interaction. I've always felt like she's been a very genuine, nice person. And this goes all the way back to when she worked at Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
And Sydney, my daughter, worked with her.
Oh, nice. Very good.
So I don't want to hear about kissing anybody's ass or anything. She's always been great. She's always been kind. And she's always been genuine.
So she wrapped it up.
You should kiss my ass.
In a different way.
Yeah.
Go kiss ass, dude. Remember that? That classic Tiki Barber clip to the caller? Go kiss ass, dude. She gives these biscotti in a plastic bag.
Here you go. You can choose either the peppermint or the regular. Yeah. And she puts a clothespin on it.
And I hadn't seen like a clothespin in a long time. And I just started thinking about how I've heard people put clothespins on their nipples. Have you ever done that? Put a clothespin on your nipple?
No.
Have you ever heard of people doing that?
I'm assuming that people do a lot of things that I wouldn't do.
Yeah.
And this seems to be like one of them. Like, I don't know. Did Aaron Rodgers put something on a nipple when he was down there with the ayahuasca?
I did not see that episode yet, quite possibly. Okay. But it is a thing, right? Like there's certain
piercings and stuff like that.
Yeah, but a clothespin, though, on a nipple is a thing.
Oh, good biscotti.
It's not bad, right? It's actually pretty good. Yeah. Like, just like when, for whatever reason, it's one of the, like, life's weird mysteries. Like, why people smear their boogers on the wall next to the urinal. Like, why is that a thing? That's a thing everywhere. Clothespin on a nipple, one of those things. Want to give it a shot?
Nope.
No?
Maybe Al will do it.
No.
I don't like anything but my nipples.
Fleegs, want this on your nipple?
No, I'm good.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm just going to clip that Al nipple thing for Eddie.
Oh, yeah. I don't want anything on my nipples.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
All right. I just thought maybe, because people say it's the good pain. Clothespin on your nipple. You know, like
it's a good pain?
Yeah, it's a good pain. Like it hurts, but it also makes you feel good, you know?
I can't. It's just, no.
You wouldn't put a clothespin on your nipple?
No.
Put on your lip. Put on your lip.
No, I wouldn't want to do that. So you just did it?
Yeah.
Is that a good pain?
No, it hurts. I don't like that at all.
How about on your nose?
I don't want to put it on my nose.
Okay. How about on your earlobe?
I'll do it. Yeah. That doesn't hurt much, actually.
No?
No. I guess because it's a different type of, there's not as many nerve endings there.
Earlobe?
All right, earlobe, here we go. That doesn't hurt really either.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But it's the nipple would be the thing.
Yeah, you know? Put it on your nipple, okay?
All right, here we go.
I don't like anything but my nipples.
Okay, here we go. Right there.
Oh. How is it?
It's tough because it's through the cloth. I'm getting the real experience.
Are you turned on?
No, not good. Around you guys. You know,
Maybe if I was in a different situation.
But. You should go home and put that nipple on tonight. I mean, that
clothespin on tonight.
Clothespin on your nipple tonight. Walk into the bedroom.
We got our neighborhood Christmas party tonight.
Oh.
Yeah. Our Avenue Christmas party. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Only certain people on the street get invited. So you get that invite.
And
you are
in the inner circle now.
Yeah.
But you've been there long enough.
Yeah, 2021.
There we go. Maybe that's what I'll do. Show up with a clothespin on the nipple tonight at the Christmas party.
Hey, everybody.
I heard this was a swinging town.
It is.
Oh, I think that's a rumor. I haven't seen any of that. I have not seen a single bit of swinging.
People don't want to swing with you. That's all.
Oh, I would hear about it. I'm a scuttlebutt guy. Everybody brings everything to me. I would have heard about it.
You would have heard about it at the Portly Villager. There's no question about that.
Yeah, there was one instance where I saw it, where I saw an older couple slip like a pineapple keychain across a bar to some dude.
Oh, really?
Saw that. But they were an older couple. Nobody knew who they were. They were for out of town. They probably heard, like, falsely about Sayville being a swinging town and showed up there. And a guy was
so
like...
So how do you think that works? You think it's the woman who chooses the man or the man who chooses the woman? I think it's
different every time. I don't know. I would imagine that each couple has their own formula.
Okay, yeah.
But I don't know. And I don't think I'm ever going to know. You know, I don't feel like we're going to be a swinging couple. It doesn't feel like if we...
Bring the dogs, the kids, everything. Mother-in-law.
You're going to do what now? That's ridiculous.
That would be.
One asked casually... if I wanted to have a threesome with her and the other girl.
Is that really your life?
No, it sounds like I was reading an article.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, yeah, that's pretty good. How about that? All right. So anyway, I see this. I got a couple people send me this yesterday.
Okay.
So it's it's an article in the Post. It says, Kylie Kelce couldn't care less about topping podcast charts after unseating Joe Rogan at number one. So, Kylie Kelce, I'll read from the article, is privy to what critics have said in the wake of the success of her podcast, Not Gonna Lie, which is ironic. Not Gonna Lie, except about our podcast numbers, with Kylie Kelce, which surpassed the Joe Rogan Experience atop the charts earlier this month, which just cannot be true. It just can't.
Are they on the same platform, by the way? Is it Spotify or?
I don't know how that works. I think every podcast is available everywhere, isn't it? There's not like the exclusivity anymore.
Yeah, no, they're everywhere.
Yeah. So
Rogan's not getting paid, or he is getting paid by Spotify.
Yes.
But it's still.
They get paid by one place, but then that place controls the advertising.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right.
So she said she's privy to what critics have said in the wake of her success, Not Gonna Lie with Kylie Kelce, which surpassed Joe Rogan on the charts. Unlike some who publicly scoffed at what transpired, the soon-to-be mother of four and wife of retired Eagle center Jason Kelce has zero interest in contributing to that engagement. But I'll answer questions about it in this article. I'm focused on putting out content that people like to consume, she said in a New York Times interview published Thursday. If that puts us there for a week, cool. If it puts us there for longer than that, cool. But don't need to feed any conflict that's created by it. So here we go. The show, which sets the record straight on gossip and speaking truths on topics like modern parenting, social media trends, and women in sports. You're telling me that getting more... listens than Joe Rogan's podcast?
Well, maybe the initial one did just simply because of the whole Kelce, the whole Kelce dynamic between he and his brother and Taylor Swift and everything else. I could see maybe the first one out of the gate with a lot of targeted promotion and marketing. I could see maybe, yeah.
When I tweeted about this initially, Spike Eskin, former PD here and who's in the podcast game, said that the charts does not mean downloads or listens, that sometimes a new podcast like hers, because it's new, she's getting subscribers and she's getting a lot of subscribers, even though they're not the same amount as Joe Rogan, she got more new subscribers that week, perhaps, than Joe
he's
Rogan.
Already, he's already he's expanded. Already, right, he's already exactly. expanded. So she's but now you, back in the game, and now yep. this everybody's starting
but
to
that's
download.
But right. that's false information yes. then. Because like if you say atop the charts or is surpass someone on the charts, everybody believes that that's the one that got the most listens, the most play. Everybody.
But
thinks,
again, it's not her putting that out there. It's whoever is controlling her podcast.
Well,
that's who's putting that
right,
out.
Right, and it's all bullcrap.
All right.
So she says, although Kelsey couldn't care less about the charts when it comes to the detractors, she seems to relish in their annoyance, as explained by the Times.
Are you annoyed?
That's getting me going, she said. Greg Giannotti. Addressed the charts of the matter earlier this month on WFAN, stating in part, if you look at any of the Joe Rogan YouTube numbers and compare that to whatever the Kelseys are doing, come on, Kylie Kelsey has more listened to podcasts than Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan influenced the 2024 election. I didn't even know Kylie had a podcast. So that's what I said. So yeah, so there you go. So they're still writing about this.
I mean, you're not specifically attacking Kylie. What you're attacking is whoever is claiming what they're claiming about how many people were listening.
Exactly. But there is a little bit of an attack on Kylie saying that there couldn't possibly be that many people paying attention to her social media tips and modern parenting.
Like, hey, Fleeks, you know who Kylie Kelsey is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, how about the Taylor Swift Nation? They all know who she is?
I would say most of them do, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very large group of people. Would you say yes?
Very, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, so you could see that there would be a lot of people interested in what she was saying.
Again, like you said, especially at the beginning when, okay, let me check this out, it's new. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
I would see 6 months from now, let's see what happens.
6 months? That's 6 days.
All right, whatever.
I just let it surpass Joe Rogan. I mean, this is just so stupid.
Spike also added in the tweets when we were going back and forth that anytime down in Philly, when they post anything having to do with Kylie on YouTube, their numbers go crazy because of the Jason Travis Swift vortex she's in.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, the vortex.
That's a vortex.
That's a vortex. Now, Fleegs, you're a Swift. Are you interested in anything Kylie Kelsey has to say?
I'm not interested in anything most people have to say.
Brett in Long Island, you do. He's a guy.
I'm so thrilled that I don't have to answer his phone calls for 3 weeks.
But do you think, like, so you know other Swifties, are they're seeking this content out? Like, thinking, like, maybe she'll say something about Taylor Swift in her personal life? Is that why they're doing that?
Nobody that I've talked to personally, but I would imagine, yes, there are people who are, like, looking for any information. Because I know people did it with New Heights. That as soon as it drops, people look for any information that Travis
is actually on that. We're talking about Travis's sister-in-law now.
There are people into it enough, I'm sure, that they're sitting down there within the first day that the episode comes out. Maybe they're listening on, you know, 2x, 2.5 speed, but just trying to hear if the word Taylor's mentioned.
Meh. All right.
I'm telling you, that's one of the reasons why. And, you know, whether 6 days from now or 6 weeks from now or 6 months from now, it can hang on and hold on. That's another story. I mean, Rogan has basically shattered everything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not even close. You know whose podcast I would listen to, though, and could have a chance if he did it right? To surpass Joe Rogan.
Brett from Long Island.
No.
Who?
Juicy mango, you're looking very nice. Ding-a-ling-a-ling, ding-a-ling-a-ling, ding-a-ling-a-ling. Oh, he could do it, man. He does dances. You expand that brand. He's got already a million TikTok followers. I'd listen to that every day on the way home. By the way, I was disappointed. Speaking of Rogan, I was a little bit disappointed in his drone conversation with the U.S. Former fighter pilot. Is that the best way to put it? I don't know if former Air Force guy. I listened to most of it.
You didn't think they went deep enough?
I didn't think Joe Rogan prepared himself enough for the interview. He was asking things and referencing things that really did not exist, and like wasted time doing that. Like for example, they wasted like 10 minutes trying to figure out if one of these things had been shot out of the sky, and he thought that it was shot out of the sky, and it wasn't. And it was just a lot of things. He just wasted a lot of time, and I wanted to hear more from the guest, and then he would just kind of go in these other tangents and crazy things. I was all jacked up to listen to it. There's some interesting things in there, but I just thought it was going to be
I thought it was going to be much better. I don't know if Al felt the same way about it.
Yeah, exact same way. I was like, how is he not prepared for this? He loves UFOs.
Yeah, strange. I don't know, man. The whole thing is getting weirder and weirder with the orbs.
Have you come up with any other explanations, or are you satisfied with any of the explanations that you're hearing yet?
No, I'm still sticking to that the orbs are UFOs and visitors.
Visitors, okay.
And the drones are ours trying to figure out what the hell is going on.
What the orbs are.
Correct.
So you don't think it has anything to do with some sort of nuclear material that has been gone missing?
No, but the orbs do show up historically when nuclear things are getting too crazy, like what's going on in Ukraine and all that stuff. The orbs start showing up around the world, kind of babysit us.
Yeah, there is a there is a theory.
That's your theory.
Yes.
But there is a theory out there that is shared amongst many people who follow this, that especially that one case down in, what was that, South Africa with the schools, that school with the young kids.
Oh, yeah, Zimbabwe.
It was Zimbabwe. And they were visited by extraterrestrials that came down and told these kids that you got to protect the planet, the environment, stay, you know, the nuclear stuff and all that. And like all these kids grew up and had the same story. It's bizarre. So there are people in the UFO community that believe that there are people either from the future or another dimension that'll come in when things are about to go haywire here to warn the humans not to do it.
Right.
Maybe Greta Thunberg is a spokesperson for them.
That they first started showing up when we dropped the atomic bomb. That's when they were like, we got to get down here, figure this out.
Yeah, and how's that going?
Not going great, but that's why they're here.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a theory that's out there. The one thing that's driving me nuts, though, is there's a lot of videos with these orbs, and I cannot tell which are the real ones and which are the fake ones. And it's gotten to that point now where, and I'm usually good at sniffing that stuff out, I can't because it's all at night and it's lights and it just, you can't tell. Like Joe Rogan posted one himself yesterday. And I'm thinking, you know, and he was so unprepared in the podcast. I'm thinking, is he getting duped by this thing, or is this real enough that he felt like he had to put it out? I'm so confused. So what did you think of that one that he put out?
I don't even really remember it. I did see it. I wasn't impressed with it, I guess. I don't remember it looking real.
Orbs. Where are you at with the orbs?
Where am I at with the orbs?
Yeah.
There's a couple of realistic explanations that I could buy into, but I haven't bought into anything yet. You know, of course, I'm going to be somewhat cynical about all these different opinions, especially about, you know, being babysat after the atomic bomb went off.
That seems the most realistic.
That's the first I heard of that this morning, and I just have to take that in and just kind of figure out whether or not there's any reality to that.
That supposedly, historically, when these things show up over our nuclear sites, they have the power to turn them off if they want to. And then turn them back on when they want
to. Is this written down anywhere?
It's UFO history.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that's the biggest thing is, because everybody just thinks drones. Where are the drones? It's the orbs. We got to focus on the orbs.
The orbs and the drones. So I'm not sitting here saying that can't be possible. Obviously, anything is possible. You know. We're on a rock hurling through space.
Anything is possible.
I get it.
See, that's what I was saying. This is what I was saying the other day.
Over a short period of time, you're here 1 minute and you're dead the next.
Yeah.
Jerry's way of thinking isn't that far off.
Yeah.
And they've been coming around for about 70 years, these orbs.
Okay.
But to them, that might be... like 70 years of us might just be like an afternoon for them. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
So...
time travel.
They've never harmed us, though, which is good. The orbs.
Yeah, I'm not particularly. Like, some people are like, oh, they're. You know what? I got to stop.
You got to stop, man.
I was about to say, I can't even.
Well, were you about to say something that actually makes any sense? Or
no,
of course not.
But that's the whole thing about this. None of this makes any sense. If it made sense, we wouldn't be here talking about it. We'd have an explanation. We don't have an explanation.
By the way, one of the Zimbabwe school children works at Barstool.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Who is it?
I forget his name. He works on the microdosing show.
Wow. Interesting.
Orbs.
Orbs. Orbs is
right. Do you believe in the orbs?
No, I'm not into that. Not into the orbs at all. And these drones have probably been flown around, but people, it's the hobbyists. They have nothing to do. Losers in their basements.
So you're not a believer in the orbs?
True story.
True story?
Do you believe that the orbs are people from the future that are warning us about our nuclear capabilities?
True story?
I mean, he could be an alien, actually.
I wouldn't be surprised if his head opened up and there's like a miniature green man in there that just came out and was like, no, 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 no. You know?
Yes.
And then closed back up and he was like, Bob Cousy!
That is something that, to me, I could buy into that theory.
Oh, yeah, 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 of course. Yeah.
Zah is the guy at Barstool. His name is Zah.
Is he the little person?
Little person, yep.
He was there?
He was going to school at that Zimbabwe school when that happened. Now, I've heard him interviewed many times about this. He says he recalls more talking about it than actually experiencing it. So what he's remembering now is telling the stories about it. He doesn't really have a memory of the actual thing happening.
He remembers hearing the stories about it?
No, he remembers...
Or himself telling him the stories.
No, he just remembers now himself telling the stories about it and doesn't really recall the actual event, as far as I understood it.
But how can you tell stories if you don't remember an event?
Well, he was like a little kid.
That's Brian Williams. Remember him?
Yes.
Jesus, yes. Didn't he get fired for doing exactly that?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, Al, you were saying?
I'm saying, so he's not even sure whether he's remembering the stories or remembering the actual event, but he was there and had been talking about it since he was a kid.
Wow.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Ow. It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Jerry, we have a couple of really fun Feel Good Friday things coming up in the next segment, a little Pay It Forward Feel Good Friday. And then at the top of the 9 o'clock hour, Jeremy Schapp on his follow-up documentary on Gunner and CF and the Boomer Esiason Foundation and all the good things that they have done. So let's see what we got from you right now.
Now, brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. This is, I guess, because we don't see this very often. This is what a lot of people are talking about from the Monday Night Football, the Thursday Night Football game last night in L.A.
There is no snap. He's going to the teed up ball. He launches his right cleat into it. This boot with great distance. And Dicker drills it with zeros on the clock. He converts for three. 21-13.
And that was Westwood one with the call. He wasn't holding that ball?
Yeah, he was holding. When he says teed up, he means that the ball's being held. Oh. It's not on a tee, so it's a mischaracterization of exactly what's holding, what's going on.
Free kick, though, because of the penalty. It's really something.
There would be no reason to hold it if he had it on a tee.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, that was part of the 34-27 win for the Chargers. Here was Justin Herbert. He threw for 284. It's a team effort.
You know, every single guy in that locker room gives their all. You know, and so it's my responsibility to give my all. And, you know, we really play for each other. We play for, you know, the Chargers organization.
Yes.
You know, by the way, at the end of the first half there, I was wondering if Jim Harbaugh was going to use his timeout. And he ended up using his timeout, forcing the Broncos to punt.
Because you never know what can happen.
Right. You never know what can happen. And, you know, it was just a really interesting way that that half ended, and with the penalty on top of it, and then you move the ball all the way up, and then the free kick comes into play, and it's really an amazing situation. And that kind of flipped that game. In a weird way, it flipped the game, I felt.
And then the Chargers go on for the win. Both teams now 9-6 on the season. Bo Nix threw for 263 and the loss. You've got the Jets and the Rams Sunday at 1. A lot of people are making a lot of this as the Jets found their way on Jeopardy.
Super Bowl history and this clue. It's the only team to play in the Super Bowl before Neil Armstrong's moonwalk that has not been back to the big game since. 30 seconds, players. Good luck.
And now you know how this usually goes. These are the most, I mean, probably the smartest people in the world, but they're not sports fans.
Yeah, I know. And it drives me nuts because every time these guys get these sports questions wrong, every sports fan on social media is like, you idiots, how do you not know this? Meanwhile, they just went through a category of physics and things that these balloon heads would never have any idea. You know, they buzzing through them like nothing.
That's exactly
but
right.
But they don't know, like, the, you know, the St. Louis Rams moved to L.A.
But they may know Beethoven, Tchaikovsky.
Yeah, right. Or the world history. Or
there's no show that makes me feel dumber.
Yeah.
It's exactly. True. So here were the answers.
Neil, bowling is up first. $9,800, an impressive total. What team did you come up with, Neil? He wrote down the Cleveland Browns, and I'm afraid that's not one of the teams that played in an early Super Bowl. Eric Weldon Schilling, our champion, was in second place with $10,000, thanks to that Daily Double. He wrote down the Giants, and that's also not correct.
Not a great
Laura thought I had the lead after that final clue, $13,600. Her response was Houston, also not correct.
No, and so then he would reveal the answer and have this to say.
The Packers, the Colts, the Raiders, and the Chiefs have all been back, but the winners of Super Bowl III, the Jets, are having a pretty rough 55-year streak.
Oh, man. So Jets-Rams Sunday, Giants-Falcons Sunday as well. We get to the basketball last night in Minnesota where the Knicks really laid into the T-Wolves.
Bridges cross the lane, pass from Towns. And Bridges having an outstanding game. He's been overshadowed a little bit by Karl-Anthony Towns. But Bridges at 29. An efficient 29, 12 of 18.
Yes, he did. He finished with 29 points. Knicks beat the Wolves 133 to 107. He had 32 and 20 on the night. He shot 10 of 12. Bridges had 29 points and Deuce McBride 16 off the bench. This was Tom Thibodeau. The work on the glass is huge.
The rebounding, which was a big concern going into the game, I thought we did a good job with that. Carl was, I mean, what could you say? It was just a monster game as well as, you know, McHale, and I thought OG again is, you know, defense is special.
Yes, a lot of what they did last night was special and was pretty damn good. All right, interrupt this report because I'm going to ask you, what do you do as a parent of a daughter? What do you do as a parent? You both have daughters. I do not. So I will tell you that it's hard to understand because I don't know where she's from, but this woman that I found on social media is talking about rules for her daughter and some parameters that were put into place.
So my daughter's asking if she have a boyfriend round. I said, yeah, but there's rules. You keep the door open and it does never get locked. She's just come in now with a boyfriend. and the door is locked.
Could you understand that?
The boyfriend came over, the boyfriend, the door is locked. The rule is that the door always has to be open if the boy is in the room.
Correct. And so what then happens?
Go in and get him.
Any idea what that is? A vibrator?
Is that a Roomba?
That's a vibrator.
Is it a Roomba?
It is not a Roomba. One more time.
Go in and get him.
Go in again. She's talking to an animal.
She called her brother, and he came over with a power saw. He got the door in half so they could get in, and that's the daughter at the end telling him to bleep off.
Oh, wow. What were they doing in there?
That I have no idea. Okay. I don't know if they were doing anything, but I just wonder what you would do as a parent.
Well, I am.
No boys in the house at all.
Yeah, that's still too hard for me to think about that, them being 6 and 3. But I do know that my neighbor, who's got now teenage daughters, he does take the entire door off the hinge when they act up.
Interesting.
And then we'll give it back to them.
Yeah.
And put it back on if they start behaving.
That's not bad. It's his house.
Yep.
Your room, my house.
Mm-hmm.
That's not terrible. Wow.
That's right.
The Yankees introduced Cody Bellinger Thursday. Here he is in terms of positions. He seems like he will be quite versatile.
I just wanted to let him know, like, you know, how I'm feeling. And, you know, I told him that wherever y'all need me to play, I'll play, whether it's left, center, or, you know, if Judge gets a DH day, I'll play right. Or if you need me at first base, I'll play first. And, you know, I enjoy doing that stuff.
And he is Aaron Boone, who he was talking to. He was asked if he's still, you know, if you go back, I think 6-7 years ago, he had a 47, like 130 RBI type of season.
His MVP, yeah.
Yes,
MVP, yeah.
Has not been quite that since. He was asked if he's still capable of years like that.
Well, that's what keeps me motivated. I know what I can do. And I know what I've done, and that's what I strive for every single year.
So we'll see.
And now he's going to be in a completely different lineup. He's got the short porch. Oh, my God. It's perfect for him.
It very well might be. Yeah. Very well might be. We shall see. And then a couple of things from the Devils did lose last night to Columbus 4-2. But from college football, so we know Bill Belichick is now at North Carolina. They kept Freddie Kitchens on as, I think, tight ends coach, I believe.
Yeah.
Kitchens did meet the media either yesterday or the day before that, and he's pretty much selling the program. And his question here essentially is, like, why wouldn't you come here?
I think for any potential student athlete for the University of North Carolina, it would be asinine for them not to consider and want to come to the University of North Carolina.
He goes on to say, you see what we're doing here?
I mean, what are you looking for is what I would ask. The preparation to get you ready to play at the next level, if that's a goal of yours, then we should be at the top of anybody's list.
And then goes on to say, we will be the real deal.
For them to come in and to be in a weight program that's that they're going to continue in the NFL. I mean, we're going to have a professional weight program. We're going to have a professional organization, how it's run, how we practice. Everything dealing with the football side of things is going to be run like the NFL. So if you want to prepare like an NFL player, come to North Carolina.
A little different.
Anybody going to class?
I don't think you have to.
We're not
going to
talk about that. Don't worry about the education part of it.
No. You think Bill Belichick cares if these kids go to class?
I would like to think that he should
care. Football coach. He's
know,
an NFL
still,
football coach.
I mean, but still, I still think there's a responsibility of those football coaches to make sure those kids go to class. You don't want, I don't know. I'm sorry.
They're making a lot of, these kids are going to make a lot of money.
I understand that, and I'm happy for them. But man, football only lasts for so long. Hopefully that's the message that he sends to them. You can go, your dream could be to go to the NFL. If you go to the NFL, the chances are you're not going to last more than 3 years. You better have something else to fall back on. And by the way, if you come to the University of North Carolina, you have an opportunity of a lifetime to get an education along with the football education.
Yeah. Well said there, Boomer.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right. We're going to do a fun Pay It Forward Feel Good Friday story coming up next. It involves Belport football and the Philadelphia Eagles. And speaking of the Philadelphia
Belport
Eagles,
football.
Yes, speaking of the Philadelphia Eagles, the road to New Orleans with Boomer and Geo is presented by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. And they very well might be on the road to New Orleans. Well, they already are, kind of, as they are on their way to winning a division. And the road might actually go through Philadelphia to New Orleans.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, so a year ago when we had our Boomer and Geo Live 2, the Christmas edition at the Paramount. While we were planning the show, Spike Eskin, who was a PD at the time, kept saying, well, there's a surprise for you. There's a surprise for you. We can't tell you what it is. There's a surprise for you during the show. And I was like, man, that's kind of cool. Let's see what the surprise is. And Chris Vaccaro of the Suffolk County Sports Hall of Fame came out on stage and said I was going to be a part of the 2024 class. And I was inducted in May. And it was a very, very awesome and humbling experience. And so many people that deserve that honor that had gotten in and to be there was just awesome. Keith Hernandez was there that night. Danny Green was there that night. So fast forward to this football season, and we get a call. First, Jerry gets a call to do the Giants and the Eagles game and for Compass Media Networks. Then you get a call from Jerry or an ask from Jerry, hey, do you want to do the game? And then Phil is involved in the game. And then I was like, hey, I did sidelines at Pitt football, so I want to be a part of this as well. And I said, you know what? I think I could be of use on the sideline because the head equipment manager for the Philadelphia Eagles, Greg Delametros, was my equipment manager at Belport High School, and I know his family, and he'll introduce some guys. Maybe I'll get some information. You know, if injuries happen, I get some information. So I hadn't seen Greg Delametros in 24, 25 years. So I go down there, see him, catch up with him. He introduces me to Howie Roseman and Big Dom and everybody else. And it was great. It was great to see him. We had an awesome time at that game. And when I told the story, I was like, you know, that's a guy who should be in the Suffolk County Sports Hall of Fame. He's the lead equipment manager of the Philadelphia Eagles. This guy doesn't get recognized. I don't even think he's in the Belport Football Hall of Fame. You got to recognize this guy.
You know what? You go into the Hall of Fame, and now you're nominating people for the Hall of Fame. Boy, yeah. You got some set of stones.
Well, I felt, well, it's a good thing. I'm paying it forward.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing, actually.
So I'm paying it forward on a feel-good football Friday, and I brought his name up, and it got the attention of Chris Vaccaro, who is the president of the Suffolk County Sports Hall of Fame. And he is joining us right now on the phone to announce something. Chris, good morning. How are you?
Morning. How's it going, guys? I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. And last time I saw you, it was a great night, the induction ceremony. I know you're going to have a great class in 2025 as well.
2025, yeah, absolutely. The committee met yesterday and selected our boy, Greg, your boy, your Belport friend. So it all happened because you brought it up on WFAN, and we're excited to honor this incredible guy who's really dedicated his life to the game of football.
Well, that is awesome. So Greg Delametros, Philadelphia Eagles head equipment manager.
Does he know any of this?
He does not know. So this is how it went down yesterday. So
breaking news.
Yes, this is breaking news. Yes. Nobody knows, but, nobody knew
and
until.
Greg himself doesn't even know.
Greg himself doesn't know.
Wow.
So what the original plan was to have Greg on the line when we broke this, and I was going to tell him that we're having him on for something else. And just to we're going to review 2024. People are important to us, are alive, some BS that I fed him, right? So he goes, hey, I'd love to. I appreciate that, but we got a big game coming up this week. I don't want to be a distraction. It's not about me. It's about the team. And I'm like, this.
They're playing the Commanders.
Right. And, yeah. And I was like, this is the type of guy that he is. This is why he's so good at his job, you know?
So he's an equipment manager who did not want to come on and just talk whatever,
yeah,
with you because he felt like that could be a distraction in some way, shape, or form.
He says, not about me.
That's amazing.
That's why he's so good at what he does and why the several coaching staffs have kept him. And I'm glad he's getting the recognition that he's getting.
All right, finally. So who makes the phone call? Does Chris make the phone call, or is this the phone call for him to find out?
Well,
or
I think
his family is finding out right now.
I think his family's finding out, and he'll find out. And I know that Chris will speak to him at some point as well in a formal capacity.
Oh, that's great, Chris. That is an awesome job by you guys.
We appreciate the heads up about him. There's so many people that are doing really unique things in sports, and it's not just about the athletes and the coaches. There's support people, journalists, doctors, lawyers, equipment managers that deserve the attention. And he's so humble about it. But you know what? In May of 2025, it'll be his night, and we can recognize him and, you know, let him focus on the big game this week. And then I'm sure we'll connect either next week or the week after. But I'm excited to talk with Greg.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris. I appreciate it, man. I really do appreciate your support. And you got two guys right here, Boomer and Gio, that are both in the Suffolk County Sports Hall of Fame. So you know we're always going to be there for you, whatever you need.
I appreciate it. You guys are the best. Merry Christmas, and looking forward to staying in touch.
Yes, all righty, Merry Chris. Christmas, thank you so much. Yeah, well, that's great job by you. Look at you.
Yeah, I felt good about that. I did.
Man, that is paying it forward.
I did.
And that's, you know, somebody like, if you don't bring somebody up like that, who would know?
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, he's far more accomplished than many people I know that came out of Belport High School. So, yeah, he deserved the recognition and deserved the attention. And he's had other brothers that also graduated Belport that I played football with, Anthony. The family's great. The mom was one of the team moms. So I'm sure they're going to be so thrilled and so proud of him when they induct him in May.
Well,
so.
They just found out this morning, and I'm sure that they are texting him as we speak, I would imagine.
But how about him? He's like, man, I appreciate you guys so much, but, you know, I shouldn't be doing a radio interview. I'm just the equipment guy. I don't want to take any shine away from the team. It's, you know, amazing.
I mean, it's not surprising.
Yeah.
Well, it's not surprising. Those guys always keep their heads down. They don't get involved. They just do their job. They don't offer any opinions about the team.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they just want to be there. They want to do their job. And most equipment men, you know, when they're dealing with the head coach, they are invaluable.
Yeah.
I mean, they, you know, no matter what sport, no matter what sport it is, those guys are the backbone of every team.
Yeah, and he's been there with every one of the coaching changes. Like, he's just there, you know, because they all trust him and they say, we got to keep this guy.
Plus, the owner likes him.
Yep, that's true. And Howie Roseman really likes him, too, who's been there for a while. All right, we're going to continue our Feel Good Football Friday coming up next. Jeremy Schapp of ESPN is going to join us. He did a documentary on Gunner back when Gunner was in high school, and he's revisited that now that Gunner is a father of two and thriving in his 30s. So we're going to talk to him about that on this holiday, special holiday Christmas edition of Boomer and Geo.